Whether it's John Edwards' haircut or Obama as a bathing beauty, nothing is sacred when it comes to scrutinizing the physical appearance of presidential candidates. In a style column for the Washington Post, fashion editor Robin Given commented on the visibility of Hillary Clinton's cleavage, calling it a small acknowledgement of sexuality and femininity. Her column created more of an uproar than the neckline did. Thousands of readers wrote angry letters in response. And we want to hear from you. Are a candidate's clothes, muscles, or cleavages worth analyzing? Can they really provide insight? And how far is too far? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog. It's npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now to talk about Hillary's neckline is Ellen Goodman. She's a columnist for the Boston Globe and author of the recent column Political Fashion Babble. She joins us from her office in Boston. Welcome.
Hi.
So, Ellen, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing summer sandals and a black skirt and top. Not like when I wrote the column when I was sitting on a porch. Definitely not even remotely fashionable.
I have to say there was an instinct getting ready for this interview to go put on a turtleneck, you know, despite the fact that it's 450 degrees in Washington, because once you start talking about this topic, you feel like everyone's looking at your chest.
That's right, let alone your ankles. But yes, definitely.
So why do you think Robin Given's column created such a stir?
It's just one of those last straw columns. I mean, you know, the fashion babble that can analyze a hemline, we've all suffered with that. But when you get to what the neckline / body part, you really stepped over the line. And to discuss Hillary's cleavage is really like discussing, oh my God, you know, she has breasts. Oh no, you know, I didn't know that, you know.
So you think
details at 11.
Right. So you think this is categorically different from talking about Vice President Cheney wearing a parka?
Yeah, particularly if you look at the, I mean, first of all, only in Washington would a fashion writer get her tips from watching C-SPAN 2. I mean, that in itself is fairly hilarious.
Are you suggesting that Washington is not the most fashionable town in the country?
I am, actually. I apologize if that insults you. Nor is Boston, for that matter.
If the Manolo Blahnik fits.
Yeah, right. You know, so I think that was a piece of it, that it came from C-SPAN 2, but it also, I think it's not, it's categorically different than writing about what Vice President Cheney was wearing.
And if it had been about a different, I mean, if it had been about the cut of her blazer or, you know, the height of her heel, something that was not an erotic zone, do you think it would be different?
It would be different. I mean, I've kind of had enough of it anyway. A lot of us have, you know, we are looking at, and I'm no different than anybody else. I mean, I've noticed what Hillary is wearing. It's part of it is she's sort of finally got the female presidential uniform down. I mean, it fits well. She looks great. I mean, I saw her. I recently was in New Hampshire when she was speaking there, and I confessed to you, I'm saying, that's a great jacket. I wonder where that jacket came from, you know. So I think that we do notice what other women are wearing. The variety of things women wear is so much greater than the variety that men wear. But we're also looking at the first female, you know, not the first female presidential candidate, but the first sort of serious front-running female presidential candidate. And we're both picking up cues by what she wears, but also extremely sensitive to something that is about her anatomy.
Well, I think that was actually reading the column. One of the more interesting things is that it sort of smacked of Kremlinology. It was kind of trying to read her psychology and her thoughts about the campaign from the fact that she was willing to sort of push the edge of the very conservative Senate floor.
And by the way, you got to look at the picture. There's no edge. This is not, you know, this is not what, you, if you put cleavage into Google, God knows what you come up with, but you're definitely not going to come up with anything like a quarter-inch neckline there. It was a V-neck.
If your standard is Britney Spears, I mean, in this context, our standard is presidential candidates, right?
Well, That's true, but at the same time, we would be highly critical these days of the 1980s uniform when women felt they had to wear everything except a tie.
Oh, they did wear ties. Remember
well,
those little?
Know,
oh, yeah.
The bow tie.
Yeah.
That gave a different DNA to the tie.
Well, in an interesting twist, Ann Lewis, senior advisor to Clinton, is using Givens' column as a basis for a Clinton fundraising letter. It says, would you believe that the Washington Post wrote a 746-word article on Hillary's cleavage? And it goes on to express a lot of outrage and says, you know, this is why you should contribute money to the campaign. Interesting campaign strategy. What do you make of that?
I think I might have done it slightly with a slightly more arch edge. I think she could have used a bit lighter touch. But I think it is, because it's reminding a lot of the voters who may have mixed feelings about Hillary but have been up against these kind of microscopic judgments their whole lives. So it's reminding women voters that about what she's up against and that they got to be on her side. And that isn't universal by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's probably a pretty good ploy. I don't know if it raised money. I'd be interested to find that out.
Let's take a call. This is Pilar in Boston. Pilar, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm on a cell phone.
We can hear you fine.
Thank you. I actually wanted to make a comment and ask a question. The first one was, I'm really kind of concerned that this article is a reflection of the recent trend towards raunch culture and how we seem to pay attention to women who behave badly. And I wanted to know if either of you were concerned about that possibility, that this is actually a reflection of looking at Hillary Clinton as a possible raunch figure the way that we do Britney Spears and Paris Hilton.
Well, I got to say, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Hillary Clinton as a raunch figure. I mean, the other person who had her cleavage analyzed was Jackie Smith, who's the Home Secretary in Great Britain. And that was, in some ways, that was the camera was above her looking down. I mean, that was almost as if somebody had their cell phone photograph under her skirt. I mean, that was just totally ridiculous. So I don't think it's at all remotely getting to the raunch end of the bell curve here.
I see. I was concerned because I sort of see it as America tends to be more conservative about where we put our cameras, perhaps on the Senate floor. But, you know, you never know where you can start. But I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay.
Thank you, Pilar. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ellen Goodman, do you think there's a difference in how we judge the appearance of female politicians and male politicians?
Absolutely. I mean, we're judging everybody's appearance. It's no news bulletin that you know, John Edwards got YouTubed for combing his hair and having a $400 haircut, you know. And Al Gore back in 2000 was judged for all those, quote, earth tones, end quote. So that we are much more conscious visually of the images that come to us in the past, and we do make kind of flip judgments about all of them. I mean, you know, I still have a engram about you know, George Bush on the deck of the aircraft carrier wearing his flight outfit, so that we do make judgments about what people are wearing. But there's just no question that the kinds of judgments about women and their appearance are just much, they're dissected to the smallest degree.
Let's hear from Jason in Louisville. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I was just going to say that we, in this campaign so far, we've become acutely aware of what people are spending. Like, you pointed out a couple of examples. Another one was the Times reporting about how much Mitt Romney was spending on makeup. And one of the things that I guess would concern me is that there are some viable candidates out there that may not have an adequate shot at the presidency because of their appearance.
Mm-hmm. That we're not electing funny-looking people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Thanks,
yeah.
Jason.
There's something to that. Would Abe Lincoln get elected?
Let's hear from Judy in Portland. Judy, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi there. I think it's all just nonsense. I mean, she's smart. If she's got a little bit of cleavage, fine. Who cares? She's a woman. I mean, you know, she's going to have cleavage. I think most women do have cleavage. If they don't, they use something to boost it up. In this day and age of Paris and Brittany, they're showing their crotches. I mean, a little cleavage in a woman that's in her late 50s, like myself, is, I mean, hooray for her.
You're here, Judy.
and shame on the guy that took the picture.
Thanks.
Well, it was a cameraman.
It was a cameraman. She was giving a speech.
She was actually giving a speech on education, of all things.
Right. A fact that has been pretty much forgotten in all the coverage of it. What exactly was she talking about again?
Right, exactly. And that it was talking about education, which went right over everybody's head.
Well, whether this conversation is, as Judy says, nonsense, and I have to say I sympathize, in general, do you think politicians' appearances are fair game? They've opted into a public life.
Well, I think that it's hard not to comment because it's a visual age when they are constant. It's like the open mic age. They're always on an open mic. There's always an open camera. So your audience, your readers, your viewers, your listeners are, well, not listeners are not hearing. That's one of the
things
of radio. But the viewers and readers are constantly seeing these guys. So how does a reporter not mention? I mean, take a dramatic example. Supposing, you know, one of the candidates suddenly shaved their head and nobody talked about it. I mean, that would be absurd. But on the other end of this spectrum, to parse every tie and every jacket for its political content gets a little silly. Now, they justify it, reporters justify it, too, by saying, yeah, but the campaign is doing that. So we're just following what the campaign is doing. The campaign may say, oh, we can soften his image by having him wear a blue shirt instead of a white shirt, or we'll never have our candidate wear a pink shirt. And so they feel that they can follow what's been set by the political candidates. And I agree with that. There's no way on earth that Hillary's dressers said to her that day, hey, Hill, let's go show a little cleavage today and see how it plays. I mean, you know that didn't happen.
Although I have read some blog posts that suggested it did, just because she's famous for how calculating she is.
Well, you know, that gets that level of calculation.
Yeah.
You start getting into conspiracy theories.
Ellen Goodman, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Ellen Goodman is a columnist for the Boston Globe, author of the recent column Political Fashion Babble. She joined us today from her office in Boston, Massachusetts. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.